What's up? Welcome to episode 329, the PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM with Zoe, because Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy will not be here. It's funny, last week it was Izzy and no Zaya, and now it's Zaya and no Izzy.
We're on that theory again, we're the same person.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, you're never on the same podcast at the same time. Even though, like,
this two weeks
ago, like, you were there. But yeah, here we are. Not bunch coming out, because Gamescom is this coming week, so I'm sure we'll get a lot of news then. But we did have some interesting stuff this week. As far as new releases go, I didn't see anything of substance, at least nothing that popped up, and no one really talked about in any podcast I listened to over the week. And then that Celebrate Summer deal is going to end on the 20th, so if anybody didn't hop into that, they're going to miss out, because there's a lot of good deals in that thing. I think it was like, let's look at it real quick, what it was. It was like Spider-Man was $16, Witcher 3 was $12. So Monster Hunter World was $20. A lot of good deals. Red Dead was $39, Red Dead 2. But as far as news from this week goes, this is an article from IGN. The Anthem lead producer is leaving BioWare after 8 years. yep. This is a... pretty interesting. After 8 years with the company, Ben Irving announced today that, and this is from the 15th of August, today that he's leaving BioWare. He was the lead producer on Anthem. He announced it via Twitter, basically saying, you know, after 8 amazing years of BioWare, I've made the decision to move on and have accepted an exciting opportunity at another gaming company. Since the first time I played Baldur's Gate many, many years ago, BioWare was the dream place I always wanted to work. I'm trying to see if there's an update to this article, but I don't think they put in... I don't see the update. It just says updated. But he says, I believe Anthem has a bright future. There's a great team working on it, and I look forward to following its progress and playing it from the sidelines. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, obviously, you know, whenever we hear about these big departures a lot, usually from studios, you always worry that, oh, you lost the, you know, primary creator... you know, of this franchise, like the big person behind it that gets everything going. But there are a lot of people on the teams who, especially if they worked under that person for a long time or at least on multiple franchises, they have a pretty good foothold on what they need to do for a game or how to design, do all that kind of stuff. But it is always concerning whenever a high-level person at a studio ends up leaving that studio while a game either is about to come out, already came out and is having trouble, or, you know, is trying to find its foothold within... an online service situation.
Yeah, you always hope for like the 14 situation where somebody steps in and saves it, but doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, or even like a No Man's Sky situation where you go quiet and they just work on it and make it better, and then it just goes up from there.
Yeah, like a resurgence kind of thing with the same team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but yeah, I haven't seen anything. I remember they delayed the... there's some sort of event they're supposed to do, I want to say soon, and they pushed it by 2 weeks. I think it's when Borderlands 3 was supposed to come out, and they pushed it, because I remember someone on a podcast was like, oh, now I can finally play this game because the update to Anthem got delayed. All right, but yeah, we also got the announcement of 4 new PlayStation controllers and a gold headset. So there is a... let's look at... break down these colors if they list it. There's a electric purple.
Yep.
There is red camouflage, titanium blue, and rose gold. I dislike the name rose gold, but I don't know why. It's just champagne or pink. Champagne pink. I don't know. It's just... rose gold is just... to me, the name doesn't match the color, but...
it's supposed to be, like... rose gold is supposed to be actual rose gold, where it's, like, a warm, pinkish tone gold, but this just seems like metallic pink.
Yeah,
it's like... I get it, you're trying to get, like, the rose gold trend, stuff like that, but the controller's just pink. But it doesn't matter, because purple's the best one anyway.
It's always interesting to me that they come out with these camo ones. Like, I'm really curious how much the camo controllers sell, because they've done them in green, they've done them in blue, they've done them in black and gray, I believe. It's like, they do a lot of them. And I'm like, I'm surprised how many camouflage controllers come out with. But these release in the fall, Which has me, I'd mentioned Discord, now hoping that means that PS4 controllers will be forward compatible with PlayStation 5.
Yeah, if they're releasing so late in the cycle. I think on, I don't know why they didn't have a date on the US release. The Japanese PlayStation Line account said they're coming out September 6th or something like that. But I didn't see on any of the, like, North American releases, I didn't see dates listed anywhere like that, so I don't know if they're coming out a different day than they are in Japan.
Yeah, it just says will come, the controllers will be priced $65 and will come in September.
Okay, yeah.
But the headset doesn't have a full release date. The headset's going to be sometime in the fall. But
oh, yeah, there's no release date for the headset, but yeah, this says September 6th on the Line account.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a new controller, or you gotta, you know, broke yours out of frustration over playing Sekiro or something, I don't know. It's like, go ahead and get a new one. I'm still rocking the gunmetal one they came out with a while back, although it's got to the point where I've used it so much that the color is fading to just regular black on the handles, which is pretty funny. So that's happening. It's also, I like it where there's one spot on the touchpad I typically touch whenever I use it for a game that has a, you know, touchpad functionality, typically for like a map or whatever. But it's like right above the right joystick. Like you can clearly see that's where I press it. It's pretty funny. But yeah, hopefully it, I mean, that'd be great if it's forward compatible, because that means, I mean, that's the one thing that stops me from buying any of these licensed controllers that are like the SCUF or the one from Astro. That they made, where it has the back paddle or a big giant back buttons on it. It's all modular. You can move things around if you want. Like, I want to get one of those controllers, but I want it to work on PlayStation 5. And then I also kind of hope that they announce a pro controller with the PlayStation 5 as an option. Like, here's your regular controller, and here's a pro one with buttons on the back or something. But we'll see. We also have some information from THQ Nordic, where they had mentioned, I believe during a financial report, they had mentioned plans for Saints Row, Dead Island 2, and Time Splitters. I believe earlier this week they also announced that they transitioned the developer of Dead Island 2 over to someone else. I want to see, unfortunately it's in a separate article. It's not bundled into this one I opened up on Twinfinite. But as far as for Time Splitters goes, they did say last year Deep Silver acquired the much-loved Time Splitters IP. We're delighted to announce that one of the series creators, Steve Ellis, has joined us to help plot the future course for this franchise. So that's pretty exciting. I'm curious. I mean, that means it'll be like a ways out until anything Time Splitters related comes out. But it would be nice to see another Time Splitters, especially because there's just so many game modes that were part of it that just aren't in any other shooter. I mean, Halo has stuff similar, but not everything. So it'd be nice to just have all that stuff that Time Splitters had. Yeah, and then also we got the, I thought we had already announced the release date for Frostpunk coming to PS4, but it's coming out in October 11th. So you can get that on PS4 or Xbox One. I'll be looking forward to that. That's a game I've been wanting to play for a while. But yeah, and that's it for the major stuff. There was the solo mode for Apex, which we had mentioned last week and is still going on. Again, it's a limited time mode. It's only about 2 weeks long. There was some controversies over the Iron Crown loot boxes in it that they've since said they will make all the skins available on the store through a three-day rotation, or not three-day, but a split rotation across, I believe, 6 days. So for 2 days, certain skins will be up and available at the store for purchase, and then the next day, the next set of skins. So if you want to just buy the skins directly, you can do that versus trying to get them from the loot box. Because the concern there was that you could earn Iron Crown playing the game to get these loot boxes, but they're guaranteed to have these skins that are part of this event. So there's only skins from this event are in these loot boxes. But I didn't look at how much you'd have to play to unlock them. But you could alternatively buy one pack for 700 Apex or crowns, if you can purchase them just like Apex coins. which is basically $7, and you're guaranteed a legendary or epic, I believe, skin. And then, of course, people are like, well, if that's the only way you can acquire them is from this, versus where, like, last event they had, which was the Apex Predator event, you could do things like, oh, if you get so many kills with this particular gun or something, it was like headshots maybe, then you get the skin for that gun. If you do something else, it was like some other challenge, like a challenge you had to do. I forget if it was like rank placement within the match or what it was, but if you played, you could unlock a skin for Bloodhound, and then if you did something else, you can unlock a skin for another character. So you just had to play and do these challenges to get those skins. You couldn't buy them otherwise. And so because this was so different, that had people a little upset. And they had come out and said how, you know, they apologized for not being more upfront with how the event was going to be different than the previous events, because everybody thought it was going to be just like the last event. And they said how events in the future will also operate differently, but they will make sure to be upfront about how things are going to work in future ones, and at least making them available in the store. Now, granted, they're priced exactly how they would be as all the other items in the store when it comes to legend and epic and legendary items. Epic dairy. It's a new tier. But it's like, yeah, so at least that's a middle ground where if people really want that one skin, they could just buy it straight up versus getting a loot box that they're not guaranteed to get it, but it's still pulling from that event prize pool, essentially. I didn't have an issue with it myself. I mean, I was a little bummed that I couldn't just earn them regularly, although it would have been nice if it was just like, hey, here's, you know, you play the event, you earn coins to get the boxes, and then after the event, just put all those skins into the store rotation. So it'd be like, you have a chance to get them up front, or you have to wait until later. So now it's kind of like a, I guess, meeting in the middle kind of situation. But yeah, people are pretty upset about that. And then Fortnite had something similar with a reskin of a dog back bling, which I just thought was really silly. But, you know, whatever. I think it's my favorite thing about, since I haven't played Fortnite since Apex came out, is that now anytime there's something that the community is just up in arms over, it's just hilarious to see it from the outside now.
You can just mostly ignore it and be like, yeah, I'm going to go do something else with my
life. Yeah, it's like, get the brute out of the game, And I'm just like sitting here laughing like, this is hilarious to me that I don't have to deal with this kind of stuff anymore and you guys are just complaining about it. But yeah, the reskin dog thing was pretty ridiculous. I mean, I saw it from both sides, but, you know, whatever. Epic did go back and take that out and say that was our bad. Because it went against stuff that they had promised previously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it was like, they had, when they came out with the Battle Pass, each of the Battle Passes have unique skins that are only available in the Battle Pass. They're never on the store ever. So that's an exclusive incentive to buying a Battle Pass, which is only $9.50. And you get, if you get to rank 100, you earn enough in-game currency to buy next season's Battle Pass. So if you were to never buy skins, you could have been funding since season two when the Battle Pass came out. Or was it season three? I don't know, whatever. The first one, and just fund every Battle Pass. So essentially you're getting infinite skins for just the very first $10 you ever spent. Hmm. But and then they had come out with this one skin during the last event, last season, where it was like a tropical version of this skin. I forget his name. Drift, that was the skin's name, and it was like this progressive skin where as you played the game, unlock new versions of it. And so they came out with like a tropical version where it was his skin, but he didn't have his jacket, and instead he had like shorts on because he's going to the beach, and I think he has a lei. And people were up and arms like, oh, it's just a reskin of the one in the Battle Pass, you said you wouldn't do that. And it was like, well, this is significantly different, and only a couple people were annoyed by it, and then they Epic stood by it. It's like, well, this is a very different design than what it was previously, and it's unique mm-hmm. to the season. And they're like, so people forgot about it. But the case for this dog, which is part of the Battle Pass, I think the second pass before I quit playing, was all they did was throw on a ski mask over the dog, essentially, and put a logo on his, he was wearing a bandana around his neck, and they put a logo on it. So it was like, no effort. Like, it wasn't even a different dog breed. It was the same dog. Like, if you look at side by side, it was like, spot the difference, and it's like two. It's like, he's wearing a mask, a ski mask, any other thing. It's like, clearly it's just nothing else changed. So it's like, that was very much a, okay, this is just a no effort reskin of a something from the Battle Pass. But yeah, and then, of course, we got Monday will be opening night live for Gamescom, which will stream at, I think, 11 Pacific Standard Time, something like that. So I'll probably just try to ignore news all day and do you guys in Discord and just wait to watch the entire Open Night live stream when I get home, because I'd rather, like, experience it all. But we'll see what happens, what's shown. We talked about last week when you weren't here how there was the Australian PlayStation store, I think it was, or a website for PlayStation in Australia, where they didn't list Death Stranding as an exclusive. Like, it just dropped.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then people were wondering if it was going to come to PC, and Death Stranding is going to be at Gamescom. Kojima's going to be at Opening Night Live. And so there was all that speculation. And then Microsoft is apparently supposed to have a bunch of announcements at Gamescom as well. So hopefully it's a pretty good showing. I mean, it's been a while since E3, not too long, but I look forward to it. But yeah, other than that, that's kind of it for the news. There was something that wasn't necessarily PlayStation related, but I thought was kind of interesting. Nintendo announced, or they didn't announce it, but the patent came out for the fact that they're going to have a new chip inside the Nintendo Switch, which has a byproduct of a better battery life, because it's a more efficient chip. Makes total sense. So now that's coming out soon, and like, totally, you look for the red box, you get that's the one with the new SKU. But they're refunding, or they're allowing people to trade in and essentially refund their Switches if they got one that wasn't the new model, but after the announcement came out.
Yeah, only if you bought your Switch after they announced that they were coming out with the new model.
But it's like, that was so weird to me, because that's so opposite of what like a price match would be. Like, I feel like if you're going to do this, it should be for the people that maybe bought the month before you announced it. Because I feel like anyone who's like an informed gamer or consumer is going to hear the announcement that there's this thing coming out, it's going to have slightly better battery life, and that, oh, I should wait. Like, they have the information up front, and then anybody who just goes out and buys a Switch is probably someone who doesn't necessarily care about that kind of stuff. They just went and bought a Switch, and they're not necessarily going to feel cheated out or have seen the news or even see this news that Nintendo's doing this thing. It's like, you should have done it for the people who bought the month leading up to it. Not that I would have done it, because I bought, like, the week it happened, but I didn't care. It's like, that's how it should have been, because everybody else should have waited on their own to get the new one. But it was really weird when I was like, oh, that's interesting, let's see when the date was. It's like, oh, the date is this when it was announced. I was like, that's like, you're
super intentional so they don't have to give Switches to people that bought it like a week, or even like you said, a month before they made the announcement, which is the people that you should be giving the console to, because it's like, well, if you, like you said, if you know that this new edition is coming out and you buy it anyway, or like if you just happen to buy it after this announcement is made, then you're like, oh shit. But if it's extended to like the month before, it's not going to matter anyway. So all the people that bought a Switch like a week before they made this announcement are just screwed. And I'm sure customer service is just loving the conversations that they're having with everybody right now.
Yeah. Luckily, GameStop is doing a trade-in. I think it's like, for, you can trade in your Switch for up to $225. Obviously, it depends on condition. Yeah. Which essentially lets you get a new Switch for $75. So,
and they basically said that you'll get the full credit as long as the console works.
Right.
So regardless of like, unless it's just like cosmetically horrendous, if it's like moderately well taken care of and it functions properly, you'll get the full credit for it.
Yeah, and they did something similar with the PS4 Pro, and I think the X as well. But I did that for the Pro. I traded in one of my PS4s and got the Pro at a discounted price. And I was like, because I think it was $200 for a PS4 trading at the time. But yeah, for $225, traded in and just upgraded. I was like, there you go. At least it's an option you have.
Yeah, which is this, Nintendo thing. Great considering their normal track record. But yeah, if you're like really that desperate for that extra battery life and you don't want to wait for like Pokemon to come out or something to get like that light edition or whatever, it's $75, but it's cheaper than buying a whole new Switch, not getting anything out of your old one. And the thing about the old consoles though, depending on how early you bought it, if you really cared that much, you could sell your old console on eBay for probably more than you bought it for, because the old consoles are the ones that you can homebrew, and you can't do that with the newer consoles. They're just totally hardware incompatible. So if you have one that can be homebrewed, sell it on eBay for twice as much as you bought it for.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm also really curious, like, you know, how much more battery life there will actually be. Because, you know, they say how much, but it's
they say double, but I don't think making a minor change to some of the hardware can double the battery life.
I haven't played mine much in handheld, but I've heard stories from like Andrew Renee on Kind of Funny, who's like, oh, my hers like lasts like 2 to 3 hours when she's playing.
Confirm.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like, that's so low. Now
it's pretty abysmal.
The battery packs, do you have to buy like, is it a proprietary charging like external battery pack, or is it just a third party?
There is a licensed one from Anker, I think it's Anker, that you can get that's certified by Nintendo to get as a battery pack. But other than that, you just have to be careful about the cable that you use and the type of battery pack that you use, because there was a lot of issues where third party docks were bricking consoles because the connectors were bad, and it was like pushing too much power to the console because of the bad and like loose connectors, because the Switch dock has like a custom USB-C connector. So the third-party docks were trying to mimic that, but not going through the same kind of certification and like custom process as Nintendo. So you just have to be careful about like the wattage and stuff. But I use just the same USB-C cable that I use to charge my phone that I keep in my bag. And I plug it into like one of those little iPhone wall adapters. And that works fairly well. And I keep it plugged into my laptop at work too. And it hasn't had a problem. It just charges really slowly.
Do people ever use like those power banks they'll buy for like their cell phones and stuff like that? Where it's just like a little...
I'm sure they do, which is what the Anker thing is. Okay. It's an external battery pack that you can use for anything. I haven't tried to use mine yet, but I don't remember what brand mine is. I have three different battery packs, so I was going to try some of them, but I also don't want to brick my Switch. But I don't think it would super matter. I think the biggest issue with the bricking was like the connector for the USB-C third-party docks was bad, and it was like cheaply made and not done correctly. But I know that some people have said you can use the battery packs as long as it's the correct wattage. So yeah, I don't think you could use like a fast charging one or one that's made to fast charge through USB-C for stuff that's compatible. But if you use just a normal battery pack, it should be fine.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure someone will do a test to see how much it actually does.
Well, there's a thread on Reddit, and I think in the Switch subreddit, it might even be in the sidebar, something like that, where like an actual engineer like broke it down into like technical terms and explained why the bricking happens. And there's probably a lot of discussion in that thread about like what types of battery packs are safe and use good cables and stuff like that. So
Damn, there was something I was gonna mention. Not initially Nintendo related, but totally blanking on whatever it was.
Should have wrote it down.
Yep, I should have.
Usually
I, Yep, I usually do it on my phone, like, oh, talk about this, this, and this, and then podcast stuff. Yeah. Like, ah, oh, that's what it was. But yeah, aside from the Switch stuff, I guess. Oh, there was also news wise, there's a bunch of impressions from Modern Warfare. More footage for it. And then this week was also the embargo for Borderlands 3 gameplay and impressions from outlets. So you can, that's been going up all this week. People doing Let's Plays, putting that up on their websites. So you can check that out. Because that comes out really soon. I mean, we're almost in September. It's like, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, that's it. Basically the news. So we can jump into what we've been playing. You've been playing just Dragon Quest Builders?
That is literally all I've been playing. That's all both of us have been playing. My poor Switch does not get to get turned off during the day.
Is it you guys playing at the same time? Or no, you can't, I guess, because if you're... It's only one Switch you have, right?
Yeah, we just have the one Switch, where it's like we could even considered getting a second one at one point because we play it so much and we want to play together, but right now we're just playing on the same one. And the only times that he doesn't play is when I take my Switch to work and play all day. So the Switch is on all day.
Nice.
But it's good. It's real good.
Yeah, I think, I don't remember if I did it before... last podcast, I think it was after last podcast. I'm trying to see here when I made this post so I can tell exactly what day it was. Let's see, the 12th. When the hell was the 12th? I think that was Monday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat Bloodstained on Monday. Finished that up. I was on like the last, essentially three bosses, but it's one boss and then a double boss, and they're essentially back to back. And then I just went and farmed like this really good weapon. Cause I'm like, I'm just going to go do this. Cause in that game, you can't get the best stuff until basically you're at the end of the game anyways. Cause either A, the enemies that drop the materials you need to craft are in the final zone, or B, you can't even get the ability to fight these optional bosses until the very end. So then I did that. That was kind of fun. I wish it was more. It does see this one crafting thing that I like, that I wish it reminded me a lot of, I guess, Final Fantasy 14 does it, where you don't just make a weapon. You have to take a weapon you have and craft it with materials into a new weapon. And then you take that new weapon. So like in this case, for this weapon I needed, I had to craft three elemental swords. I had one I was using, and then I had a fire one, and then there was I had a lightning one, and I needed this, I think it was an ice one. And they just required like, oh, you need this plus like a ring. This particular jewel, and those are the base weapons you can craft. And then you take those three and you craft them into one blade, which essentially does, I think, dark damage. And then you take that blade and craft it with some other stuff to make it into the final weapon I need. And each thing, like that blade requires certain materials that are hard to get, and then the last one requires materials that were even harder to get. But I like that idea of taking something you have and just crafting it to make it better. Just like in 14, you take your, you know, ultimate weapon or whatever, and you just make it a higher tier.
Yeah.
I wish more games would do that with gear and weapons, is where you're just taking the thing you've already got and just getting mats to make it better. I like that kind of crafting, because then I feel like you could gate it much easier to prevent, you know, overpowered progression, because it was just so odd that all the best stuff at endgame Bloodstained is like right at the end. It's like, why would you gate it so far? And it wasn't like I was
nothing to do with this.
Yeah, I wasn't even like outputting insane numbers. Like, it's a great sword, it doesn't swing that fast. It's not like that crazy weapon I ran in Cynthia of the Night that just you could move while swinging and it was just ridiculous. just spam the button. It's like you can swing it like it was 1,000 swings a minute. It's like out of control. But
I mean, in Dragon Quest Builders, in order to get the best sword in the game, you have to beat the game and then beat the strongest like side boss in the game. So after you do that, there's nothing to use the sword on. You're just killing like trash with it at that point.
Yeah, it's like it's like, what am I gonna do after this? Like, I'm not gonna do, unless I could do like, I'm gonna do New Game Plus to do trophy cleanup, or they have some other modes like a boss rush mode.
Oh, okay.
You can do, so I guess if you can use your weapon in boss rush, maybe. But
yeah,
it's like I'm like, I did it just because I was like, I kind of wanted to extend the life of the game. I figured I might as well, because the weapon I'm using right now is pretty low. When I looked at the stats of how good I could get the, what the best one would be. But I enjoyed Bloodstained a lot. I only had two issues with the game where it didn't like tell me what to do, man. So I don't think I complained about it on the last podcast, but like, there was this item you need to essentially progress the story. And in order to find it, it wasn't, like, you didn't find it by linear progression. It was just this most random fucking chest in the middle of fucking nowhere that I would have never gone to had I not looked it up, because I'm like, I've been all over, where's this item? Like, in Symphony of the Night, it's like, oh, you got, here's the double jump, here's the bat, here's the mist, here's the wolf, here's gravity boots, here's, you know, this thing. You know, it's like it, you get them, kill the boss, get the item to keep going. And this game was like, this one thing I needed, it was just in this random fucking spot. I'm like, I don't understand why anybody, how anybody would find this, unless they were trying to clear the map and just make it 100% complete. Because there is like a ring where the more map you clear out, the stronger the ring is. So I guess if I do, but it's like, I just, it's like, what the fuck, man? Why would you put this item way over here in the, like, up here in the middle of nowhere? But other than that, and the train problem I had from a couple weeks ago, I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was a lot of fun. The side quests are very basic. It's like, one lady wants you to craft food, so it kind of promotes you to either A, grow some crops with this other NPC, which you can harvest to get the ingredients to make food, and then you get this lady and you get stuff. Then there's another lady who is collecting like these pieces of equipment to essentially, I think it's like to give to, I like put on the gravestones of people who died or something. Like, oh, they love this dress, go find this tunic or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then you give it to her and you're like, okay, quest complete. And the other quest person is just, oh, I need you to kill these monsters. And luckily the map shows you where these quest monsters are located, so you know where to farm them. And then when you kill them, it like pops up in the bottom right, like, oh, you know, flying demon, 1 of 4. And then doing those gives you materials as well. But yeah, that was fun. And then after that, just went to back to Apex, really. That and playing Civ 6. Just doing those, especially with the new event going on, the Solos event. I did play that. Was really weird playing Solos. I'm curious if they're going to make it permanent after the fact. I feel like more of the pro PC players probably like it. Maybe console players not so much. It's just, I'm so used to that squad aspect of it that I just, playing solos just feels really weird. But yeah, I'll probably hop into Assassin's Creed, finish episode 3 of the first arc this weekend, and then do the Atlantis arc. And I still haven't started Wolfenstein Youngblood yet.
No, I need to do that.
I have it. I gotta do it. And I need to finish, I also need to finish the Borderlands 2 DLC leading up to Borderlands 3, but I gotta see if my cousin has any time to do that. And then I re-downloaded Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered to play the campaign, because their Game Informer did a game club of it, and then I also kind of want to replay it before the new Modern Warfare comes out, just to see, like, oh, here's 2007? 2009? 2007. Jeez. Just to be like the difference between how much it's progressed between then and and now, and I'm really looking forward to Modern Warfare because it looks really good. I like the whole engine rework, really, in the hardcore mode. They have the realism mode, looks really good. But yeah, other than that, and then just wait to see what happens at Gamescom. Still playing Mario Maker every now and then, but that's about it. Man, I was really trying to look up other news stuff while we were doing the podcast to see if I missed anything that was important, but there wasn't really anything at all.
Not a whole lot going on.
No, I mean, there's a lot with other stuff, but it's like it's Xbox related or it's more Switch related, so it's like still no point in bringing it up. But
No Man's Sky's thing came out.
Yeah, that's right. Beyond came out this week. I think it was Tuesday?
Yeah, it was Wednesday. I totally forgot because I was going to go. I was actually just thinking about updating to play it while Michael was playing Dragon Quest Builders, but then I just think about playing Dragon Quest Builders. So.
Yeah, and it's a free update, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Supposedly,
it's really fucking good. So you can ride things now.
Yeah, and it's got the VR support. I'm really curious how that goes.
I really want to play it in VR. Oh my god.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see what comes next. Like, what are you going to do after Beyond?
But yeah, it's going to be really cool to see how they build on what they've done now, because this seems like the game that everybody was expecting it to be in the first place. So now that they're kind of at that level, it's really exciting to see where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, and Sean Murray did say that he is working on something else, something new.
Yeah.
While they work on what's next for No Man's Sky, if they do a port to PS5, well, I guess PS5, it'll be backwards compatible, so it wouldn't matter. But I could see maybe if you know the stuff that launches on PS5 is all single player, and then I have no real online thing to play. I guess, but again, then I'll just still be playing Apex because it'll be backwards compatible. Like, there's no reason why it shouldn't be. And I'll just play that. Yeah, see, that's the problem. Now, typically I'd be like, oh, maybe I'll pick up No Man's Sky if they do a PS5 version, but they won't matter because everything should be backwards compatible.
Unless they do some kind of update to make it, like, run better.
Yeah, that'll be the thing. Like, maybe wait until they do that PS5 patch.
Yeah.
But, when I watched that trailer, I was like, there's that one planet that had, like, the red grass. It was. I'm like, it just looks really good. I'm like, I kind of would just run around on this.
I know. I do too. I just want to. I don't know if I want to do PC or PS4 though. Like, which of my cool ships do I want to just fly around and look at planets with?
Oh, you've also got. Does it have HDR? No Man's Sky. I don't know.
I don't know if that was part of any of their updates or anything like that.
But it has upscaled resolution, right?
I think that was part of the next update. They gave it like some pro compatibility or something like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I didn't play next on PS4. I played it on PC. So.
Ah, okay. Well, it's at least, I mean, it's a free update on both. And you can always see, like, would you rather see it on your big TV or on your monitor?
Yeah, and it's like, do you have a very cool ship from the very first time you played the game, or do you want to play with the four that are in your freighter on the PC now?
Yeah. But tough decisions.
Yeah, life's hard.
Yeah. You're like, oh, which ship do I want to use? On PC or on my console? All right, well, I guess I'll wrap it up. This is a pretty short episode. I think last week was pretty short, too, because not a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot to talk about next week about Gamescom. We'll see. Hopefully I'm not overhyping it for myself, and then it turns out.
Yeah, it's just regular stuff.
Everything from E3.
Yeah, it's just gay.
Yeah, it's like, but I guess, you know, Sony did skip E3, so if they're there in a good capacity, maybe we'll see something nice from them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I always forget, is that, oh yeah, that's right, they weren't here this year at E3. They just did the state of play, which they haven't done in a while either.
Yeah, you start to remember, you're like, oh yeah, I don't know what Sony's doing.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a release date for Ghost of Tsushima or something. Yeah. Who knows? But all right, well, that'll wrap it up for this episode. So thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Uh-huh.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.